everybody to the Lucky Hunters Leader Rework Hour. Normally sorry for the technical difficulties, but we shall proceed with the Lucky Hunters Leader Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Hunters. First, we'll call us right now. I'm Tom Bissett of Hopkins.com, San Antonio, Nebraska. And let's turn it over to Conjurman Ali and our week's guest co-host, Madam Nadia, MadamNadia.com. Conjurman Ali.
Thank you for that, Papa Newt. For probably the most professional introduction last minute possible. Sorry, everyone, for the late start. We were having some technical difficulties getting into the show itself, and I had to call Mother Sheba. But we have finally made it in a few minutes behind schedule. But such is the nature of a live show, and such is the nature of technology. So I do apologize about that. Thank you, Papanis, for joining us and filling in for Miss Tammy Lee. Today, Miss Kat is going to be away, and we are going to have the lovely Madam Nadia fill in for her. So I'm very excited about that. And we have Oral LaForce, who is going to be our wonderful guest. So since we have such a short time, let's do I won't have any updates for you guys. Let's just check in real quickly with Madam Nadia. Madam Nadia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, Conjurman Ali?
I'm doing well, surprisingly. How are you?
I'm doing really well, considering that I'm a Gemini. Knock on wood, yes, this Mercury retrograde has been quite gentle with me. In fact, for the first time ever, I was like 10 minutes on the phone before the show, which never happened. Usually it's like, 3 seconds before. And suddenly it wasn't happening. I was thinking, oh, my God, did I mess something up? But I'm happy we are here, and I am super excited to have Aura with us, because she's like one of the people that I admire, but I get to admire her from far away. Somehow we never get to chat, but we love each other from far away, and we send each other compliments. I'm super excited to have her on the show.
I am very excited to have her on the show as well. And so speaking about Aura, let's see if I've gotten her in. Aura, are you there? No, maybe. I have a Skype number that we've made live, hopefully.
I don't know if then in that Mercury retrograde hits Canada as bad as it hits the U.S., but hopefully she'll come through.
Hopefully. Aura, if you're there, say something. No, try to make her mute and live again once more. Okay, Aura, can you hear us now?
Okay. I can hear you both.
Oh, we can hear you. Wonderful.
You can hear me online?
Yes, I just had to mute you and unmute you again, and it all worked out. That is such a wonderful little bit. Welcome, Aura. Sorry for all the technical glitches today.
No problem.
We're so glad to have you on and very excited to have you back. How are things going with you?
Over here, okay, go ahead.
No, Goosey, please tell us a little bit about what's been going on in your neck of the woods.
Well, over in our neck of the woods, the harvest has just come in. It has been extremely busy. We've been canning, we've been cutting, we've been freezing, we've been drying beans, and we haven't really stopped much. How are you both?
We are doing lovely. Harvest season sounds quite appropriate for the topic that we have today, which, if it's all right with both of you, let's dive right in. We're running a little bit behind. Aura, you propose a really interesting topic, and one that, to pardon the pun, goes right back to the roots of what we do, and that is the use of herbs, medicinal and magical, and how they correlate with one another.
Yes.
If you don't mind, I'm going to give a really brief introduction, and then I'm going to ask you to kind of take us in the direction we're looking for. So our topic today is herbs, roots, and whatnot. And these are the fundamental cornerstone of hoodoo. In fact, that's why it's called root work. We work with natural items, roots, herbs, plants, and various magical curios. What each of these herbs and roots represent is different depending on what cultural background you're coming from and what spiritual tradition you're working in. But there are some similarities, and most of this is found in that magical associations sometimes line up with the medicinal associations of the herbs. Now, there is what's known as the doctrine of signatures, which is written in European chemical texts, as well as Miss Cat has talked about it greatly, which is used to discover the various correspondence about herbs. For example, something like violet leaf, what is known as heart ease, is shaped as a heart, and so it's used for matters of the heart. But there are also cases, and also there are medicinal qualities to herbs that then match up to the magical associations and correspondences with them. And this is a really interesting aspect, because everyone is interested in the magical side of things, right? How can we use violet leaves or rose petals or cinnamon sticks in magic? But there is another side to this, and these two line up. Sometimes they do diverge, but it is important to know true root workers and practitioners of hoodoo aren't just people making spells and doing all these different magical things. They are healers. They are people who know how to employ natural healing methods and bring the power of these herbs to life. So that's a really brief introduction. There's so much more that we can discuss here, but let me turn this over to you, Aura, and why don't you talk about how you use herbs and what you're thinking about when you are exploring the magical and medicinal, because you are quite well known as a healer, as well as someone who works with herbal remedies, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, and I actually came to root work as an herbalist first. I'd been studying herbs for many years before, and the herbs themselves come to a point where they start speaking to you, and I'm sure you know that just from working with them for so many years. They have a feel. You put them in their hand. They talk to you. They have a sensation. Each worker has an affinity for certain herbs as well. Part of that is the doctrine of signatures agreed, but also certain energetic vibrations, for fail of a better word, or the spirit of the different herbs and roots will speak to each one differently. And that's why some root workers are very big on the Queen Elizabeth root, for example. Personally, I'm far more of an Angelica kind of girl. And if you look at the Angelica, just the smell of it speaks to me before even the herb has started moving. In Chinese medicine, Angelica is very, very interesting. Angelica sinensis, rather than Angelica archangelica, which is what we usually use in hoodoo, is used for moving the blood. It has a very typical smell that you'll smell in some Chinese herb soups. It is wonderful, wonderful stuff, and it does have an affinity with women, and hence you see in hoodoo, it's used for protection, but also specifically I find when you're protecting children or when you're dealing with marital situations, it's an excellent, excellent herb, and it really has a very strong affinity with women. So that's one where you actually, the Chinese traditional herbal use, and you see conjure from African American herbal use halfway across the world, and both of them are using the herb in a very similar manner, one magically, one medicinally, but you really see it align, and you see how that doctrine of signatures speaks both on the medicinal and on the magical side. So it's very, very fascinating, and that Angelica is a very good example of it. Another one that I absolutely love and use regularly is burdock root, which is that's one of those like heavy-handed, coarse, very strong uncrossing herbs. It's great for uncrossing male nature. I find it's great also when somebody's just having crossing, but they're feeling under the weather, they're feeling thick, they're having skin issues, just nothing is moving, everything is sluggish. Burdock is a great one for that. And if you look at its use in North American herbal medicine, it's used as an alterative. So alterative gently cleanse the blood, improve the blood, and It's great as a liver cleanser, as Alchemical Artisan says, but it's not as strong a liver cleanser as something, let's say, like dandelion root or milk thistle would be. Burdock really has a very strong affinity with the skin, however. So whenever there's skin issues that are part of whatever situation, either magical or mundane, burdock is a great one. And yes, as Ms. Michael says, it's used as gobo in Japanese recipes, and it's used either as a root vegetable or it can also be added to soups. So when you're cooking with soups, that's a great way to be working magically and medicinally. And again, we have with burdock root that real alignment between medicinal use and more esoteric use. So it's really interesting to see how these uses have matched. And then you've got certain other herbs where the use doesn't necessarily align quite so closely with the magical side. And those ones are also really interesting to look at. I mean, if you look at red clover, medicinally, that's used as a pectoral. It's a tonic pectoral. You use it. Yes, it's kind of going to improve the blood. It generally improves the state of wellness and well-being. It's been used traditionally in folk herbalism for some cancers. It is estrogenic, and here you do see the alignment with hoodoo, although the divergence, because it's used for marriage. So I find, yes, it's used for marriage, but I would use it for marriage if you're a woman. If you're a man, it's not necessarily the first one I would go to because of that estrogenic activity. But, I mean, lots of men have used it quite successfully as well. But I just find it interesting how, in that case, the magical isn't necessarily aligned with the medicinal, but the medicinal can inform who would use the magical best depending on the situation.
And I think that's a really important part of what you're saying, because while there are cases where the two align, the divergences demonstrate quite clearly for me that we're looking at something beyond just chemicals, right?
Yeah.
So while the natural uses or medicinal uses are a very important part of magic, we're working on something a little bit more spiritual on a different level. And so they don't always line up. And it speaks to the way we've come to the associations and correspondences about herbs and roots, and that is that some of them are from their medicinal uses. Years and years, centuries of people figuring out that, for example, this root or this herb is good for the blood or this is good for the heart and so on, while also experimenting from a spiritual side or an alchemical side. So there is more to it than the medicinal. But you also mentioned something very important, that you could smell angelica, and it has a certain effect. And for me, that's a lot of herb. When I'm working with herbs and roots, it's not just about matching them up according to a correspondence list that I have. It's about the way they feel in my hand. So when I touch them, they feel a certain way. They smell a certain way. And for those that are edible, they taste a certain way, right? I'm going to, there's a reason red pepper is used to hurt, to harm, to drive away, or even harsh protection, right? Because it tastes a certain way. It looks a certain way. I wouldn't put, for example, red pepper in sweetening work very often. There are certain cases where some more fiery means of love may be needed, but in general, you know, it just doesn't feel right in something that is meant to encourage and foster love, for example. And so there's this tactile, olfactory quality to the way we work with herbs. Again, it's while they line up medicinally, there's something more, there's something spiritual that we're tapping into, and this is what I call the essence of the herbs and roots. Madam Nadia, what about you? You work quite a bit with herbs and roots, and you are a person who scent matters a lot to you. Smells certain things.
Absolutely. So if Aura is an Angelica kind of girl, I'm definitely the Queen Elizabeth kind of girl. That the scent of that, of Angelica and the scent of Queen Elizabeth are very different to me, and naturally I will gravitate to Queen Elizabeth. But it's very interesting because when I do work, and I believe that it's very similar to what you guys were just describing, is that I will go by my nose and by my mind, sort of ears, mm-hmm. I guess, because I can hear, you know, I can hear my herbs talking. I know that I will go to certain ones and I will feel, well, that definitely is going to that mojo bag, or that definitely is going to that bath. That is not going. And sometimes there are those that you, you know, usually use certain herbs, certain roots in certain contexts, right? This is how we studied, this is how we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you like a different one is talking to you and stuff. Hey, wait a second, this is not like Hydra on the Conquer, right? This is not a woman's root. How come? Why? And then you realize, no, that's what needs to go in, and that's what's going to sort of change the status quo to where you need it to go. And I find that very, very fascinating when my mind is saying one thing and everything else, my intuition, my sense, you know, everything else is saying something different. And after years of trial and error, now I'm going just, you know, by what the intuition says. I say, you know, mind, you're going on a back pit. Now we're going to mm-hmm. go with that. And usually it's right. And it's the more I think we develop that relationship with the plant world, the more we understand its language. Sometimes out of the blue, you know, I would smell something, a scent, and I'm mm-hmm. like, oh my God, this reminds me of Angelica. Something is up. Okay, mm-hmm. so I need to do something. Something's going on. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful because it's their language, you know. It's like learning that secret language, and it's a guide that is taking us so much farther than what we can read in a book. And mm-hmm. As many times, if I try to compare it to the medicinal uses, I will find correlation there. I am not, mm-hmm. By any means, I am not a trained herbalist. I have some knowledge. But mm-hmm. what I do know is that when I start looking for information and I start comparing, I find that correlation. I find that it's there. And it makes me very happy and very pleased. And I feel that then, you know, the work is definitely taking a whole additional mm-hmm. level of power, so to speak.
Right. That is a very good point. And I think this is what I would recommend more than anything else, is for anyone who's new to this type of work, to hoodoo, is to look beyond, start with those correspondences, right? Start with the traditional association, but try to tap into something more. Find that sense that you work with most from Adam Nadir, it's smell, for me it's smell and touch, you know, and so, you know, work with that and try to get to the essence, the spirit, the intelligence of the earth, because that's what's going to take things to the next level. And I think this is also one of those areas of root work that is falling out of favor because of our instant gratification culture. Everything is, you look it up online and go, okay, well, I'm going to make a honey jar. Here's the list of the things I'm just going to throw in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a sort of symbolic logic that goes behind it. You're not tapping into the actual spirit. This is more than just, you know, just a recipe that you're going to follow. And I would probably argue it's the difference between people who follow recipes and people who are chefs, right? There needs to be some type of masterful understanding of these roots and herbs. And one of the ways that, for me, I teach people is with, not everyone is interested in picking up various ways of homeopathy or herbal remedies, whether it's cold compresses and oils and whatnot, but a lot of people are interested in doing the very basics of making a tea, because it's quite simple to do. Learning which herbs are edible, right, and which are not. You're not going to put John the Conqueror in a tea to drink, right? So things
unless
like
somebody
that,
is very constipated.
Yeah, unless you really want to do a number on someone.
You got to be in a bad mood. Oh,
yeah, you really not like someone when you do that. But starting off with something like that, and then knowing which herbs do what, how do they mix, right? Am I going to put senna in with dandelion, right, or am I not? This is some way that I teach my students, is starting off with teas and understanding how they mix, what effect they have medicinally, helps to open up the magical side of things. So while there are cases where they divert, I really think the medicinal, there's something there. You start there and you allow yourself to enter into a much more spiritual communion with the herbs. And what do you say to that, Aura?
Well, I'd say that very similarly, rather than work with tea for the very first time somebody, because a tea, what's nice is you do get to do the research and you do get to see, first of all, what is drinkable and what is not. Just that alone is a very interesting study. But beyond that, I tend to actually bring people in the very springtime into a field of dandelions because they grow pretty much everywhere and they end up this wide, wide field of it. And you just sit there in that amount of dandelion, and it's one of those herbs that will speak to pretty much anyone. It's not too picky about who it talks to as long as you're willing to listen. And the effects people get from it are amazing. I have people, I'll have my students take out one of the plants once they've asked for permission and chew on the root. On the flower, to see the difference between the sweetness of the flower, the bitterness of the root. And you can see right away how the flower lends itself to sun work, to brightness, while that root, that's what's responsible for the psychic vision. That's what's going to bring you deeper into the ground. That's what's going to, and I find this is a personal opinion from working with it. It doesn't nurture psychic vision in the same way star anise will, where it's going to work very much with the mind side. It's going to do it by anchoring you with your deep, grounded wisdom, by anchoring you to the earth in a very, very solid way. So I find it's also an excellent grounding herb when you're talking about the root. And the way it will work with different people is subtly different, but I've never found anybody who's remained without some sensation sitting in a field of dandelions, just because there's so dang many of them. Just by spending time with the herbs and the roots themselves,
right.
Often, yeah, particularly when there are a lot of them at once. So that's the way I tend to go about it. But working with teas the way you do is really, really awesome. And I really loved hearing how Miss Nadia also goes about her selection process when she's going to look for herbs. Because, yeah, I think we've all felt that where you're like, no, not that one, not this time. I usually use it for that, but not this time. So I really connect with that, Miss Nadia, when you're saying how when you're choosing the way the herb feels and smells, often will speak before even looking at what it's good for. And what it's good for is surprisingly matching with what we needed. So it's very, very interesting, and I really, really appreciate both of your points of view on the subject. Of course, when you get me started on herbs, I will wax philosophical for hours, so I'm going to pass it over.
There's certainly nothing wrong with that. And I think you're bringing up a really good point, because we all quite, we're divorced from the natural world in a very startling way. Now, hoodoo and root work, while has rural components, has become urban, and not just recently, but for quite a long time. But even more so nowadays, we are very devoid of that natural connection. So when you bring up going out into the field, it's very important, I think. One of the things that Ms. Cat teaches, for example, during her apprenticeship, is how to harvest your own roots. She even did a class on this, on how to pick, the right herb, flower, or root for yourself. And that's another important aspect of this, right? If you're going right back to the roots, if you're part of the pond, going out into the field, picking things, right? Spending time with them, holding it in your hand, or even if you're really dedicated from start to finish, plant, nurture, harvest. And that really has a deep connection there, and you can build something from that. Now, if you can't do that, there's always live plants in the home that you can have. Things like basil and very culinary herbs. We do have a few minutes left. What I really want to ask both of you is, let's get a list right going of what are some herbs, roots that you enjoy working with and that you employ either medicinally and magically, or that you find completely different. We've already had a few brought up, Queen Elizabeth, Rude, Angelica, but let's go from talking about the abstract to talking about the actual herbs themselves. So what are the ones that really stick out to you as the ones you go to regularly that have that you use medicinally and magically, or that you find are so divergent that it's surprising to you? So Madam Nadia, why don't we start with you, if you don't mind. Just some herbs
sure.
that are your go-to, that you have that connection with, that you can smell, that you can sense, and so on.
I think that one of them would be definitely basil. I mean, I think I use basil, like, more than I use, I don't know, sugar at home. Because it's an amazing, amazing plant. And because my first training in magic comes from Shakta Tantra, from Hinduism, so tulsi or basil has quite a reputation. And I became familiar with it there. But then as I continued my work, I really fell in love with it because I feel that it's so versatile. It's very powerful, yet it's not too powerful, because some herbs can be just like if you use them and it's like this is the only thing you're going to feel that, and they have this strong vibe that sometimes you need. But basil can be very versatile. Basil can mix with other things really, really well. And so this is one of my go-to. Another one, I guess I'm on the letter B today, but bay is another one I use a lot, and I find it very interesting to work with because it has, again, reputation in different traditions. You know, if you go to Greek or Roman stuff, it could go to hoodoo and whatnot. I also really am fascinated by the shape of bay leaves, that you can write on it, you can paint on it. It can really easily go to things like amparos and stuff. You know, you just flat, you put it there. And it's incredibly powerful. And I also want to say royal in a way. I think both of them have this certain, you know, kind of royalty or nobility to them that it can be incorporated quite easily with other things. So if, you know, if I can have only two of them and maybe some salt, I can do quite a bit of things, or even damage if I wanted to. But they, you know, these are the two that I really, really like using.
Thank you, Madam Nadia. Aura, how about you? What are the ones that you find most interesting in your work that either have very similar medicinal uses or diverge, something that really stands out for you?
I actually love hyssop. I'm a little bit out of the grow zone for it, and yet my husband has managed to grow a huge bush of it that grows back year after year after year. It is wonderful stuff. It's a very potent antiviral, so for cold and flu season, I found it very successful. You have to be careful with it. You can't use too much of it, but I use it at home for that. And I also keep it a steady supply of it for spiritual bathing. I find it has a wonderful vibe, not only to get forgiveness from sin, but self-forgiveness. And self-forgiveness is something that a lot of people can use a little bit more of. So it's absolutely beautiful, and it's got beautiful blue flowers, very similar to the ones that rosemary makes, but a much darker, more vibrant purple blue. And rosemary is another favorite. I really enjoy it. Not only for what it can do around the house as a peaceful home herb and what it can do for women, but also because it's excellent for headaches. Again, you want to go easy on it, but it's quite a potent painkiller. So it's very nice for that as well. And nettle. As you can see, we have a big uncrossing theme here, but nettle is a wonderful nutritive tonic. It's a mild alternative. You can have lots of it. Extremely safe. It's a little bit salty tasting, so it actually reminds you a little bit of the sea. It's excellent during the winter time, and it's a really powerful uncrosser. So I really enjoy that. Those are the three that I use a lot of. And then ginger and cinnamon. I mean, hey, multi-purpose.
Yes.
I was going to actually mention ginger and cinnamon myself, simply because they are very multi-purpose. They're also part of what I would consider warmer grouping and classification. And I do love them quite a bit. Those are all fantastic suggestions. And it goes right back to the message of this thing is that, you know, roots and herbs, they have medicinal qualities, magical qualities, and understanding those medicinal, magical qualities can help deepen the work that you do with them. So we are at the end of our discussion, unfortunately. I know it was a little bit shorter than usual, but it was such an important discussion. So thank you for that, Aura. Deeply appreciate. Hopefully we can have you come back and do a part two. It seems to be quite often that I say that to people. That's just because we always have such wonderful topics. Let's have Papa Newt come in and guide us forth onto our next segment.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your host, Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special co-host, Madam Nadia, and our special guest, Aura LaForest, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And you can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know you're available to be on the air. We will be selecting our callers by area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, bring a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to take our first caller, and our first caller is calling from area code 919 in North Carolina. This is Stephanie. Stephanie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome, Stephanie,
hello,
to the show. And I see this is your first time calling to the show?
Well, I've called in several times, but I've never gotten a chance to talk to anyone.
Certainly. Well, welcome to the show, and I'm going to go ahead and read your description now. My ex-boyfriend and I went through a really bad breakup. I love him with all my heart, and I know he loves me. However, there is another woman in the picture who is aware of me. How can I win my love back and remove all influences from this other woman? Turning it back over to you, Ali.
Thank you very much, Papa Newt. We're going to have Madam Nadia do your first reading.
Okay. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
May I ask you a few questions? I would like to know how long have you been broken up with your boyfriend?
Technically, we haven't been together for a year, but it's like we are together because we still communicate, we still do all the things that, you know, people do in relationships, but technically we haven't had that title, I guess, of being together.
And how long has the other woman been in the picture?
For about that same time. I've been dealing with this situation almost like a love triangle for a year with her.
I see. And what sign of the zodiac are you, my dear?
I'm a Cancer.
You're a Cancer. And your boyfriend or ex-boyfriend?
He's a Libra.
A Libra. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to pull a few cards from my Ana Cortez playing cards deck to see what are the dynamics here and what do I see coming up. And I pulled four cards. My first card is the Queen of Spades. So the Queen of Spades has a very, very long-standing reputation as being, you know, pardon the word, the bitch. So you have quite an opponent there. And she is not about to give up. She's not just that she is interested in your ex, but she's also not the kind of woman that gives up in general. She also doesn't see you as being as strong as her. And I would even go as far as say that she has certain magical abilities to keep you sort of, for the lack of better words, tripping on it. Like you're not, you try to do maybe things to bring it back, but you start freaking out, and that is not working in your favor. Now, I have the nine of clubs here, and in this deck, that's Galahad, and this is like a knight. So he's your ex is a person who can be influenced also very easily. He doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to, you know, it's not just that he's sitting there and he's going to take advantage of you and of her and of everybody. He just doesn't want to be the bad guy. He just doesn't want to do the hard job. He doesn't want to man up. He doesn't want to tell you or tell her or anything. And because she's very strong, she's influencing him. And the third card here is very interesting. It's called the Impotent King. It's the Five of Spades. So she's really holding him by the balls. And he's going to do whatever she wants. And the last card here is the Castle. The Castle is a beautiful card because it represents home and love and a place of joy. But because it's all the way underneath here, that there is a little hope, there is a little love towards you in his heart. But that there is a lot of opposition here. And he is going to follow the woman, the stronger woman that tells him what to do. And this is what I see is the problem. Right now, it's kind of hard for me, considering that the ratio of the card here, to tell you that you have a lot of chances to bring him to you. And maybe my colleagues can make some suggestions here. But I can definitely tell you that you have a lot of a very strong opposition to deal with, and a man who is not necessarily willing to do the hard work. And this is where you need to think to yourself, well, I'm going to be fighting and doing all that work. Is he worth it? So this is sort of, this is my perspective on it, and I would like to see what Countryman Ali and Aura have to say about it.
Thank you, Madam Nadia. That was a very good reading, very important reading. I just wanted to ask a couple real brief questions, before I turn this over to Aura, because I may have misheard. You haven't been together for a year, but you still act somewhat relationship-y, if I heard you correctly. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll go through times where we don't talk for 2 weeks, but, you know,
And this other woman that's in the picture, is this his current girlfriend that you're asking about?
What the lady described was perfect. I mean, this other woman knew that, you know, I was in a relationship with him, and I feel like she purposely did something to split us up, and she's like bragging about it and just causing me turmoil and emotional strife, and I just want to get rid of her. Like, I believe so.
I heard what Madam Nadia said, but is she with her is the question. You say you believe so. Okay. All right, that's what I needed to know. And then one final question is, when was the last time you two were physically intimate? I know it's a personal question, but it is actually quite important.
Maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We're going to have Aura to go. And I see Aura actually asked that in the chat. So we're going to have Aura do the next reading. We were on the same page there, Aura.
Aura asked it much more coarsely. Are you still having sex? And the answer is yes. My results are actually fairly similar to Madame Nadia's. And I really would love to give you great news about it being possible to bring it back. I'm telling you that if you continue trying to pursue it, it's going to continue bringing you emotional strife. The reason I'm saying that is that the cards that I'm getting are the Devil, reversed, Death, and the Five of Swords. So you asked, you felt like she'd done something to you. Yes, she has. And more than that, it's not specifically to you. It's to him. She's leading him around by the balls. Pardon the expression, that's what's going on. Whether she is doing it magically or whether she is doing it mundanely is pretty irrelevant. The point is the effect is the same. She's got him by the short and curlies. She's leading him around that way, and he enjoys it. And that's what Madame Nadia was getting at it. The Five of Swords, Papa Newt, the Five of Swords. So given that situation, yes, he's bound. He likes being pussy-whipped. And this is what this woman is giving him. In the present, we have the Death card. This one is for you. This is not for him. And no, we're not talking literal death. You're starting to see that this is the end. You're asking to be told that you can get him back. But I think deep down in your heart, you know that's causing you more pain than anything else to let him have his cake and eat it too. Somebody else said that. Tribal Gypsy said that. And yes, That's really what's going on. He's got the best situation. He's got the woman that's going to tell him what to do, and he's got his girlfriend, you, because you're still acting that way, whether you're an ex or not. You're going to be able to stop the emotional turmoil. You're going to be able to get the love, the respect, and the joy that you deserve as a person when you're able to let him go. The death card is about letting him go. You don't want to see him suffer. You don't want to see her suffer. You want to move on. It's over. The Five of Swords in the future tells me that it's going to be a while yet before you're able to act in your own self-interest and move forward. And I can understand taking that time to grieve, but start seeing it as a grieving. Set yourself that limit where you're willing to say at this date, if he's not back, I let it go. Madame Nadia suggested a black walnut bath, and I'm 100% there behind her, along with some good cut and clear. But we are going to let Conjurman Ali suggest what's best suited for you, given the situation, because you're not in an easy space, and I understand that. And I understand that you love him very much. You've devoted a lot of time to him, but it's hurting you at this point.
Yeah.
And it's not fair, because you're worth a heck of a lot more than being treated as second best. So that's what my cards have to say on the subject.
Thank you, Aura. I think that was right on. Both Madame Nadia and Aura have given you some very honest, very strong advice here. And I'm going to give you some root work. Before I dive in, I'm going to say a couple of things here. I'm going to give you a perspective of a male root worker, okay? A male street worker, and while I've never been in the situation that you're in or that your boyfriend is in, we loyal Tauruses don't put up with that. I have clients that are, I have friends that are, I have colleagues that are, and I can tell you, I can give you some perspective. First and foremost, while there is no doubt that the woman is quite strong and has interfered, if there was nothing within him for her to latch onto, this wouldn't be a problem. Okay? We're very quick in these situations to blame the other woman, but he's a very important part of this. He's chosen to be in this situation. He allows it because he does get his needs met. He's got, you know, the perfect combination. If he could, he could combine the two of you together, and then that'd be that. But now he goes to you for certain needs and to her for other needs, and that's not fair to you, nor is it particularly fair for her, even if she is the meddlesome woman that she is. More importantly, you said that you've been broken up for a year, but you guys are still together. This is one of those circumstances that I call a zombie relationship, and that is that it's living beyond its expiring date. And sometimes this is done emotionally because a bond remains and the two people are unwilling to let go and heal properly, and sometimes it's done magically in cases but the relationship is meant to be over and done, but someone continues to do magic, which is just enough to keep that person around, never fully enough for a full reconciliation or full getting back together, but enough to keep them around and keep the sparks going. And that is what I call a zombie relationship. So this is why I would be very, very careful, and I would not recommend that you do further work to get him back. As much as you may want to on some level, and part of you that goes, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to lose this fight, so to speak, to this other woman, if you were to continue to do work on him, if you were to break them up, I have no doubt that you may be successful in breaking them up and getting some love from him even more, but it will soon repeat itself, okay? Astrologically, you two men are not a good fit. Timing-wise, things are not ideal. It seems that you are needing two very different things. So what will happen is that another other woman will show up. Okay? So I would not say reconciliation work. I would concur with my colleagues. It's time to do some healing work and to let the situation go. The black and the walnut bath is one recommendation. It's a particularly good one. The black walnut bath is about hardening. What it does is it hardens the kind of exterior spiritual force around you, the aura, if you will. that allows you to kind of heal and cut that connection. Some people have described it as being able to remove that person so much so that they become a stranger. And this cat has described it such in the past, where you're able to practically run into that person and not all of a sudden have your heart aflutter. It's as if you're meeting a stranger, oh, hey, how are you? And they don't have that effect on you. It's up to you to determine whether you're willing to go to that level, if you need that type of kind of break. And it is definitely necessary in certain situations. But there are other means available to you. At the very least, what I recommend is a working that helps to release these emotions and to send them back and then for you to move on. What I recommend in situations like this is for you to take a photo of both of them together, see if you can find one, if not you separately, but one where they're in a relationship or their photos together. You take that photo. On the back of that, you write all the ways he makes you feel bad, right? All the hurt, all the pain, all the ways that relationship hurts you. I feel like I'm not enough. I feel like I'm not being made first priority. I feel like I'm not being valued for who I am, and so on and so forth. And you write that all down on a piece of paper. Then you're going to fold this paper up, and you're going to place it into a cauldron or a heat-proof bowl. And you're going to douse that sucker with some Florida water. And with a heavy heart, with a righteous mind, you're going to call out, say, I'm letting this situation go. I'm burning pain, the hurt, everything that has kept me back. I'm setting fire to it, purifying myself, and sending it far, far away. And you are going to throw in a match in there. Let the fire envelop the paper and the photo. You may need to keep adding a little bit of Florida water. Be very careful. This is an open flame. I expect you to use common sense with it and safety. Let it burn all the way to ashes, then douse the entire thing with salt, okay? And that salt is to snuff out anything that is left between you. You are then going to take that cauldron with the salt and ashes mixture. You're going to go to a river, and you are going to throw the contents in there. Don't throw the cauldron away. That's an utter waste, and also terrible for the environment. But throw the contents into the river and say, as this river runs and runs, so too will this person run out of my life, this relationship be gone. All the pain they've sent to me may be sent back to them and away from me. Turn around, walk away, and do not look back. When you come home, you're going to pour yourself a beautiful bath. I want you to get some milk, some honey. I want you to brew some violet leaves and rue into a tea. Pour out a bath. Make a nice bath that you can soak into. Pour the milk and honey mixture into that. Add a small cup of the tea. Then cover the entire thing in roses and allow yourself to soak. You can also add a couple drops of Love Me oil, Queen Elizabeth root oil, if you'd like. And you're going to soak into that bath and allow yourself to heal, letting all the pain go, letting yourself feel loved and beautiful once more. After that, it's up to you. You can follow up with some love root work or whatever you prefer. This is what I would recommend. We have a few minutes. Let me ask if Aura or Madame Nodia have anything further to add.
Well, what I would say is that once you've taken the milk and honey bath that Conjure Man Ali has suggested, even if you don't do any love work, I would wear some violet leaves in your shoes so that you can walk yourself towards something new and better in the love department.
Mm-hmm.
Madame Nadia?
I think that all the suggestions are beautiful. I just want you to really allow yourself to meditate on the importance of you and your own happiness with no connection to anybody else and whoever is you, then the woman or whatever, just you, because that will help you to guide you to the right person, the person that can help you be happier eventually. For now, come back to that wholeness in your heart. It's really important, and it's going to help you heal much faster.
Yeah, and you know, don't be afraid to spend some time just with you. I mean, you don't need to dive into another relationship right away. I know some people say the best way to get over someone is by finding someone new. that's up to you. It depends on what your personality is. I'm a big believer in spending time for yourself, but that's just me. I thank you for trusting us with your situation. I know that it may not have been what you wanted to hear, but we do wish you all the best, and hopefully you will find the happiness. I actually have no doubt that you'll find happiness when you're able to let this situation go. All right, Papa Newt, if you would be so kind as to guide us forth on our quest to our next caller.
Certainly, Countryman Ali. Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Carrier Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at the Crystal Silence at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go back to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from Houston, Texas, of area code 956. This is Zichan. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. And I see this is your first time calling in on your on a situation. Is this correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and read your brief description for our hosts. My girlfriend and I had a live-in relationship for years, and she had one kid, which we had to abort. Her family took her away, and I have not had any way of contact with her for almost 3 years. I want to marry her. I love her with all my heart, and I know she loves me. Do you think she will be back in my life and marry me? How can I win my love back and remove all influences from the family? Turning back over to you, Countryman Ali.
Thank you for that, Papa Newt. I have a couple questions. I believe your name is Zichan, is that correct?
Yes, my name is Zichan Ratani. That's my Zichan is my first name. Last name is Ratani.
Okay, I have a couple questions. So you say you haven't had contact for almost 3 years, so you haven't heard anything from her. Are you still out of contact with her?
I'm out of contact with her, but to tell you in a short story, I've been having this relationship since 2011. She loved me a lot, but, you know, some family member messed up my relationship, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Zichan. I know that it's very difficult.
Yeah, my own family member told them that I was a drug addict. I was illegal, and I wasn't worth nothing. And they did black magic on me. They told her parents, and her parents loved me, even though I did not present myself to her parents, but they loved me. They respected me because I used to be a billionaire. But my parents put me
I'm sorry, Zichan, for your hurt. I know it's a very difficult situation, and I do applaud your courage coming to us and talking about your situation so candidly. Let us turn to the cards and see what we can do about your situation. I have everyone's date of birth and all that all available, so we don't need to ask any further questions. I'm going to pull three cards, and I'm going to let you know what your chances are of getting this person back. Before getting started, I'm going to tell you quite honestly that the purpose of a reading is not just to get answers, right? Yes, no. Person's coming back. No, they're not. It's also about healing. And the root worker and a reader's first and primary job is to be a truth-sayer, a person who tells you the truth, and through that truth, no matter how painful, no matter how difficult, bring about some form of healing. And so I know that this is a very difficult situation, and it's a very sensitive situation, but I will do my best to read for you and help you come to the truth. So I've pulled three cards here. The very first card that I had is the King of Swords. The King of Swords shows a cruel man sitting on a throne. This is a person who is stern, who is unjust. Their sword is at an angle, unlike the Justice card. This is not a person who does things fairly. This is a person who goes above and beyond and who exacts revenge. And it's a figure. It's not a force. It's not a condition, but it speaks to actual enemies who have worked against you, older people, which you have already indicated in your talk. But the King of Swords is in your past. It means that someone did interfere, that people got in your way of the relationship, and it was unjust, it was unfair, and it was hurtful to you. The next card that I have is the Death card. The Death card shows us the persona of Death, or the Grim Reaper, armored in black, riding a pale horse with a standard, a black and white standard, and he is trampling over the bodies of pauper and prince alike, child and old person, and there is a bishop that is trying to entreat or appease this force, but it is an unstoppable force. There's a force of decay and entropy. This talks about the current situation, and it tells me that as unjust as your case has been, as cruel as your experience has been, that things are moving beyond the realm of control. We're now moving into a realm where things are not going to be easily manipulated with a root work. It tells me that the connection between you and this girl, while I have no doubt that she cared for you and that she loved you, the passage of time, things are fraying and decaying, and it is a steady decline towards the end of the relationship, as hurtful as that may be. And it is unlikely that there is a chance to resurrect it. There are too many things working against it. The final card that I have here speaks directly to you. It is the Ten of Wands. It is a man burdened with 10 staves, trying to make his way back home to his happiness. What you've experienced is very unfair, and anyone who has gone through that will have a difficult time recovering, especially because you had something going before you and you were treated wrongly. But we've now reached the point where you're going to need to make a decision. If you continue to hold on to this circumstance, you will also be holding on to the suffering of that circumstance. You're going to be holding on to the pain of that circumstance. There is something about injustice that sticks with us, that we feel when we feel wronged, it sticks with us. It affects us in a way that other things in life do not. We want the world to be right. We want the world to be fair. So when something goes wrong, we hold that with us. But that's the double tragedy of injustice, right, is that the act itself may be unjust, but then the struggle afterwards, the burden that we carry with us, is the second aspect to it. And that's what you're going through now. What happened to you was wrong, but you are letting it become a burden for you in a way that is going to hurt you emotionally and continue to make you suffer. The reality is that you can let this burden go, as unfair as it is. And I wish that 3 years ago I had known you so I could have helped you, or 3 years ago you had called us and we could say, yes, we can turn this around. As unfair as it is, I wish it didn't happen to you. Now it has to be about you. It has to be about you recovering. The answer is, and I am sorry to say, I do not believe she is returning, or there is a strong chance of her returning. And I do not see a future where you two are married. I wish I could say otherwise. And while that may be hurtful to hear, know that by accepting the reality of it, accepting that you have some control in letting go, that you don't have to be hurt by this anymore, there's a chance of freedom and finding happiness again. Because you're not destined to be alone. You're not destined to continue to suffer. And as difficult as the situation is, there are ways of healing. That's what I have to say. I know that it is not the reading that you had hoped for, and it is my apologies that I had to be the bearer of bad news to certain extent. But there is a message of very clear hope here that you can heal, that you can let this go and heal. So I'm going to turn this over to Aura and see what she can add on to the situation. Aura.
Well, if I take a look at what the cards have to say on my side, we have the Two of Wands, the Moon, and the Magician.
So we are moving from a mundane situation in the past, which is our Two of Wands, mundane because it's rooted in the real world. The major arcana that we're going to be looking at in the reading are a lot more about major processes that are happening from within. These are things, ways of feeling, ways of moving, alternatives that you have that come from within yourself rather than from the exterior world around you. The Two of Wands is an actual situation rooted in the real world, and it is a situation of union. It was a situation, in this case, with your partner, of part of what you miss. Yes, it's her, but it's also the way you felt around her, because you were able to be bold and to have power. You felt vitalized in her presence. And that vitality, that pioneering, gambling ability to take things, seize your day and move on, that's what's been missing since she's been gone. That ability to your get up and go, got up and went. And I really think that makes it even more difficult to move forward, is because you've never allowed yourself to receive that strength that you showed so spontaneously and so easily in her presence. In the present, the card that we have is the Moon. The Moon tells me that you're a very deep and you're very intuitive and sensitive person. It also tells me that you have a tendency to let your anxieties and your fears prevent you from moving forward. In the specific situation where we're dealing, you're still believing in a dream. It's that sense of illusion around you. And as long as you're seeing the world under the moonlight, you're not actually seeing their true colors. You're not seeing the world the way it truly is. At night, we can't actually see buildings, we can't see people, we can't see our lives, basically, with the color, the depth, and the breadth that it truly has if we were willing to wake up and let that sunshine in. And right now, it's leading to you feeling extremely bewildered. The fact that your strength also as a person has been tied into that relationship leaves you without a sense of direction, without a sense of purpose. You may even be having trouble thinking clearly. You become distracted very easily. You don't really know where to head from here. You don't know what type of meaning your life can have without her. And that's what you're going to have to consider. Because you are someone and you are strong even without the presence of that loved one. You may not feel that way right now, but that strength is still there within and never left. In the future, the card that I have is the Magician, and this is actually giving you a bit of an in on how to move forward from here. It says that you're an extremely effective communicator if you want to be, and your ability to speak is quite strong. You need to lay to rest what happened, and you may need to communicate to her your feelings once and for all. You write it, you mail it, and you leave it. But this is to say goodbye. This is not to bring her back. And this is also the voice that you find to move forward once again. It is the actions that you take to realize that potential. That potential was starting to flower in the Two of Wands. And that Magician tells me that it is still there. You will have your power back. You will have your vitality back and your vigor back once you are able to let that sun back in and to let go of the illusions within the Moon. So that is what my cards have to say, and no doubt Madame Nadia will probably have some excellent root work to help you on your way, but I think that healing and personal strength work, you really want to work that John the Conqueror and power aspect for yourself as a person, because that power is there. It never left. You just can't see it right now.
Thank you, Aura. That was a very powerful reading. Madam Nadia, if you could give us what you would recommend based on the readings that we've given. They seem to be saying the very similar things. So take it away, please.
Absolutely. Vishan, I am very sorry to hear about your situation, and I'm very touched by your gentleness and your love, and I think that it's very, we don't see that a lot. It's very, it's beautiful, it's very inspiring, it's romantic, and it's melancholic. But as my colleague said, that you are at the point at the crossroads where you can either stay in the past and continue suffering and maybe blaming yourself for not doing enough, or you can move on. Now, I'm going to offer you a couple of things, and one of them is maybe will be considered controversial by a few people, but since you know that there has been a curse put on your situation and you've been betrayed, you can do some work to return a favor to your enemy. This is something that I would do. Maybe, you know, you need to decide if this is something that is going to serve you to move forward. But in case you do, what I would like you to do is to write the name of the person that you believe is responsible, and I think you know who it is, and I think that you're right. I would like you to take a bottle that can be corked. I want you to put some sharp things in there, like nails, pins, needles, some awfully smelling things, like asafoetida and sulfur, and put that name in there. Some urine and some vinegar. Mix it up. Say, curse back. Make a little tiny needle hole in the cork and bury that thing head down in a, either in a cemetery or by running water. Do not put it in the running water, but put it by running water. And I would suggest putting it by a tree. There's a sense here that there is communication, the divine, you know, the people talking. So people know how you feel, and they're still keep your love away from you. And so the trees and the roots are going to communicate that curse from you to that person. And this is a personal choice. You can do it, or you can decide, I am greater than that, and I don't need to do that. In that case, just continue on, and I would suggest first and foremost start baiting. Calming yourself down and baiting and taking away this bitterness. My suggestion here is Haijon the Conqueror, the known male root, Samson snake root, and Calamus to bring that strength back to you. So stand strong. You can also add my favorites, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, Basil and Bay. They would also work well and remind you of your strength, that you're a human being and that you are responsible for your life and you can move forward. And I would bait regularly in that. I would bait for the first time, I would bait for like 7 days in a row, and then I would bait for a month, maybe every week or every couple of days. I would also suggest buying a plant, and I will go again to my, I don't know, basil is really ruling me today, but buying a little basil plant and putting your intention of healing yourself, moving forward, and opening the road to new love and new relationship. And every time you're going to take a bath, you're going to save some of that water, and you're going to water that basil plant with your intention, and you're going to see it growing. Now, basil does not need a lot of water, just a few drops. But seeing that intention, having that focal point, have focus for you that you are moving forward to the future. Unfortunately, things didn't go well for you and you're heartbroken, but this is time for you to start moving on. Because the more you're going to stay in the situation, the more the people who cursed you, the people who wished you ill, are going to be happy and enjoy this ruin. It was a personal blow, and that's why I'm suggesting to go and return them a favor. But even if you don't return a favor, you need to start helping yourself moving forward. And that basil plant and that bath can be very, very powerful, simple but powerful, to start walking forward. And sometimes it is easier to do simple things to make them powerful, because if we're going to start giving you complicated things, it's going to be a little bit overkill. So simple, step-by-step, cleanse yourself, put your intention, and move forward, and allow yourself to move forward. Allow yourself to move forward.
Thank you, Madam Nadia.
Thank
you, Madam Nadia. That's a very, very great suggestion. I know that this reading was quite difficult for you. I do wish you all the best. Know that as unthinkable as it may be now, once you heal and you move on, there is a chance for a very happy future for you. So all the best, and we do wish you well. All right, now we're next going to have a brief network announcement, and then Papa Newt's going to come in.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Saturdays, noon to 3, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our freestyle section with Aura LaForest of Aura LaForest. Take it away, Aura.
So this week I'm going to go with Conjurman Ali's tea idea. And this is actually a tea we've been dealing with love situations. So we're going to go with a tea to consolidate an existing relationship, or you can use it in tandem with any love drawing that you want if what you're looking for is a long-term devoted partner. So this is type of the feel we're looking for. It's actually a really, really tasty tea as well. So it's a very lovely beverage blend. You're going to want to mix passion flower, damiana, hibiscus petals, orange peel, and cinnamon twig or cinnamon bark, depending on what you have, what you prefer. The hibiscus, orange, and cinnamon are what give you the nice flavor. So you're going to want to go heavier on those ones. Passion flower and damiana, they're not so tasty. Go easy. Hibiscus also has the benefit of giving you a very deep red color if you put enough of it in there. And the petals are absolutely beautiful. So it's a very beautiful looking tea as well, particularly if you go heavy on the hibiscus. And the hibiscus has a bit of a lemony flavor. So if you've ever wondered what makes Celestial Seasonings lemon zinger a bright red, that's the hibiscus they put in it. They built a business on it. You're going to let the tea steep at least 15 minutes, and then you can enjoy it either hot or cold. You can mix it with a bit of honey if you want additional sweetening. You can serve it over ice. It's a lovely iced tea. You can also freeze it into ice cubes to color your water, and that's a great way to work it as a sneaky trick. And it's a sneaky trick to begin with, because most people aren't going to think of the cup of herbal tea you're serving them as a trick in the first place. So serving it for yourself and a loved one is an excellent way to work. It's one of the blends that I make regularly during the summertime, and everybody in the family enjoys it quite a bit. Do we have other tea blends? What do you like using in your love blends, Conjurman Ollie?
Thank you for that, Aura. Oh, yes, I have many, many love blends. I want to ask you, though, a couple questions. You know, being a root worker, where love is like the number one thing that you've asked almost all the time, right? Do you have these go-to blends that you've experimented over years that, you know, like, I know exactly what to do. So I have a couple questions. You know, do you prescribe teas regularly as part of your practice for clients, whether it's bathing teas or teas to drink?
I'd have to say that I prescribe teas more than any other type of root work, partly because they're very effective, partly because, yes, you can always have a root worker do work for you, but you need to be doing work for yourself. So
yeah,
it's a way
to
ensure that clients are involved in their own process. It's not it's being taken care of so I can ignore it now. No, no, it's root work. We're doing this together. I can help you. I can support you. But
you're going to have to help yourself as well. And it allows people to get involved in what they're doing for themselves and to keep their goal in mind. And I find that keys on the exterior are great. If you can also have one on the interior, you're working inside and out. And that's, from my point of view, you can't go better than that.
And independence, right? I'm sorry, I just had to say that. It's independence. It's letting your clients be in control of what they're doing and really feeling in their body the change and all of that beauty, especially when we are so urban and, you know, I can see hibiscus in my tea, but, you know, how it can grow, but people don't even know that this is hibiscus. So I think it's awesome. I totally agree with you.
And hibiscus is quite tasty too. One of the things that this really speaks to is a type of working that we don't see as much anymore, but is very old and comes from a variety of different cultures. And that is consuming power, or consuming your prayers. This is a type of work that's very, you find it in the European herbalist tradition, alchemical tradition. You find it in North African and Central African work, West African as well. So it's in the New World. And it is deeply tied to the idea of being able to consume medicine or take medicine and it will fix things. Because spiritual ailments are just that, ailments that need to be remedied. And so there is a sort of symbolic logic there. And this is where keys come in. The idea of praying over something, infusing it with power, awakening its spirit, and then consuming it into your own spirit. This isn't, it's a very different type of working than, say, candle magic, which is prayers that are consumed and then sent up to its head. It's a burnt offering of sorts, it's a light. Where teas is something that you consume, it becomes part of the very fabric of who you are. And so teas that are empowering, that are healing, that have elements of recovery, are very, very powerful ways of working, and something that people really should take a look. I love that you say it's one of the things you prescribe most because it is empowering and it's also extraordinarily effective. It's not just, you know, easy to make, but it is very effective. If someone is suffering from a broken heart, there's a tea for it. If someone is suffering from difficulties with their sexuality, or their
there's
sex.
A tea for it.
there's a tea for it, right. And I think we've gotten in this habit of tea means make it, pour it into a bath, and wash yourself. And while certainly that is a very good way of working and something that I recommend wholeheartedly myself, baths are great. They're very good, and they're the one step up from tea, I would say, you know, in terms of ease, right? You bathe with it, and then you take it out.
Mm-hmm.
But tea, you know, are meant to be drunk. So it's not just making a tea, pour it into a bath, and then wash yourself. It's about making that tea and drink it. And I'll tell you a little story real briefly, 10 seconds, about my teacher. She used to make teas, and people would have to bathe and drink them. So most of her baths were edible, and she would put them in these giant plastic jugs, water jugs, send them home with clients. She would say, heat this up, drink a cup of it, pour the rest out in your bath, and wash yourself with it. So just something to bear in mind that tea is a very old way of working. So thank you for bringing that for us, Aura. It was a wonderful, wonderful recipe, and we do certainly appreciate you for it. I'm going to thank you both. We are at the end of our hour here. I will thank both of you for joining us this afternoon. Aura, as always, you are a wonderful guest, and you brought some fascinating insights. I hope you do come back. And Madam Nadia, thank you, my wonderful Madam Nadia, for stepping in and filling in Miss Kat's shoes. Whoops. That would be so wrong. This is technology, not my thing today. Thank you, Madam Nadia, for stepping in, filling in Kat's shoes. And thank you for everyone who's listening and has dealt with all these horrendous technical glitches and problems, as you just witnessed firsthand, that we've had today. Normally, it runs so smoothly. I took time. So, Papa Newt, why don't you come in and take us out?
Thank you, Punchman Ali and Madam Nadia. And thank you, Ori LaForce of OriLaForce.com in Quebec, Canada, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers will be Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, bringing us the topic of psychic vision. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Bay, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt. Join me from papanewt.com in Santa Rosa, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard live every week on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via the luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to join us once again at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you for bearing with this rocky radio show. Yesterday was St. Cyprian's Day, so happy St. Cyprian's Day for everyone. And tonight is a super moon, so everyone go out there and enjoy the lunar eclipse and giant, beautiful moon. Thanks for tuning in, and good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.